Please be seated. You know, as we were speaking about this service today, I was trying to figure out, well, just about how much time would I actually have? And I realized I don't have any. I don't have any time. So I'm going to, thank you. I'm going to remind you, that was an amen, by the way. I remember hearing this one evangelist that was kind of long-winded, and he would go on in the services, and finally he told the people, he said, look, I don't mind if you look at your watches, just don't be tapping them to make sure they're still working. So I promise you that I'll do my best here. But my scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. And I'm reading from an English Standard Version of God's holy and infallible word. And hear now the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And may God add to understanding this portion of his holy word. This is such a special time for Christians, such a special time for believers. And it's no wonder that the world around us does everything that they can to try to steal away our joy and our happiness during this time. You know, it says about the light came into this world and the darkness could not overwhelm it, couldn't stop it. And that's what I believe happens every Christmas, because Christians begin to be filled with that joy of the Lord at what happened, at what took place that 2,000 years ago, the birth of our Savior and Jesus. But every year at this time, there seems to be this battle, this fighting to try to take away the joy from Christmas. Some people call it the Christmas wars, the Christmas wars. And, you know, they try to stop us from saying Merry Christmas and just say season's greetings or Happy Holidays. And, you know, for years, I think people were kind of buying into that a little bit. Well, you know, maybe it is offensive that we tell people Merry Christmas because, well, they may not be Christians. They may be Jews or Muslims. And so maybe we shouldn't say that. Maybe we should just say season's greetings. And, you know, but it doesn't matter. I've spoken with Jews before. I've spoken with rabbis who say, you know, we say to people Happy Hanukkah, and they're not Jews. We have no problem with you saying Merry Christmas. But really, the focus is not on what we say or how we greet one another at Christmas time. The real focus is whether or not, as Christians, we're able to keep Christ in Christmas. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to speak at a community gathering, and it was a time when at the end of the singing, before the speaker came on, somebody would hit this thing and all these lights would light up. And there was a big bandstand, and out in front of the bandstand, there was a great big banner, and that banner said, Merry Christmas. And so somebody came up to me beforehand and they said, now, you know, we've got people from all different faiths here, and we don't think that it's appropriate if you use the name of Jesus. I'm a Christian minister. And we don't think it's appropriate to use the name of Jesus. I said, So anyway, I got up there and I said, you know, I'm just overwhelmed by the fact that right out here in front of me is this great big banner that says, Merry Christmas. And so it's to that Christ that they're speaking about that I'm coming to you tonight. I saw the lady eat her clipboard at that point. She was so upset. But it seems like every year about this time there are different attacks. And I don't know, any of you subscribe to Netflix? Any of you see Netflix? Do you know that there's a special, a Christmas special on Netflix right now? And I checked it last night just to make sure. Right now, it's called The First Temptation of Christ. And it's a Christmas story about Jesus coming home to visit Joseph and Mary with his homosexual boyfriend. Now, that's on Netflix right now. They're showing it. And last year, they showed one called The Last Hangover. And it was what happened when Jesus and the disciples got drunk at the Last Supper. And it's like, you know, why is this necessary? Every year, as Christians, we have to battle this. You know, I'm so grateful that right now we have somebody in the White House that's actually standing up for Christians and for what Christians believe. I want to read this to you. Some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this, but Donald Trump said this at the White House Christmas tree lighting on December 5th. And whether you are a supporter of Donald Trump or not, I want you to hear what he had to say. This was at the Christmas tree lighting. He said, more than 2,000 years ago, a brilliant star shone in the east. Wise men traveled far, far afield. I mean, they were a long distance away. And they came and they stood with us under the star where they found the Holy Family in Bethlehem. As the Bible tells us, when the wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Christians give thanks that the Son of God came into the world to save humanity. Jesus Christ inspires us to love one another with hearts full of generosity and grace. That came from the White House. I'm just amazed. I'm grateful at what I am. I'm grateful and thankful, you know. What's the objective of these people as they're trying to remove every influence of Christianity from Christmas and really from all of our holidays? There was a newscaster. This happened several years ago, and I can't document it because I don't have it here in front of me. But a newscaster, they were talking about this battle that they were having over putting up Christmas decorations in public places. And this one newscaster said, you know, it's just a shame that these Christians always try to take away all the joy from our holidays. What's this about? Well, I want us to look at that because really we're looking at two different days. We're looking at a holiday and we're looking at a holy day. And they're really not the same. They're very different. You know, people will say, well, Christmas is just, that's just sort of a, you took that from the pagans and now you're using that as something that's holy. And I want to look at that. The pagan roots of Christmas was something called Natalis Solis Invicti, which means birth of the invincible sun. And this took place on December the 25th. And on this holiday, they incorporated a lot of the symbols that we use today, like evergreens and ornaments. They would hang ornaments out. And you know, and if you look at that, you can say, well, all Christians did was to put a Christian name on it and call it their own. Well, that's not exactly the truth. But, you know, even if they did, Christians have always taken the things of this world and turned them around and used them for the glory of God. The first time we see any mention of music in the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, was one of the sons of, actually grandson of Esau, and his name was Jubal, from which we get jubilant. But Jubal was supposed to be the first musician. He was the father of music. The second time we see music mentioned in the Bible was when it's used for the glory of God in his worship. And so what happened? People took it and gave it back to God who gave it to them. And in many ways, we take some of these holidays that the pagans may use for their own purposes, and we use them to glorify God. That is completely right that we should do that. They don't belong to those people. They belong to the Creator of all things. So our challenge, to do the very same thing, to bring these things back under the dominion of our Lord and our Savior. But you know, especially here in America, most of you know, Christmas was not celebrated in the early days of America. The Puritans and whatever did not celebrate Christmas only because they felt that it was not lifting up the name of Jesus. And so they wouldn't do it. But certainly during the 1700s and 1800s, we see this proliferation of the celebration of Christmas, of the Lord's birth. But beginning in World War II, we saw a different thing happen. And this was with certain songs, mostly by Irving Berlin and some others, songs like White Christmas or I'll Be Home for Christmas. And we saw this sentimental side of Christmas coming out more and more. And people began to, it was actually used as a marketing tool by many of the big stores, Macy's and Gimbel's and whatever, to entice people to get into the Christmas spirit so that they would buy more. And it was really a commercialization. And people kept trying to say, okay, yeah, that's nice, but we still want to worship God during that time. But little by little, their voices were pushed aside. And that was the secular side. That's the holiday part of Christmas. And you know, I'm not speaking against that. I look forward to it every year. I know you do too. It's a wonderful time. It has many things to enjoy. And I love listening to those songs. And by the way, on Wednesday night, we're going to be singing some of those songs. And we're going to be singing some carols and some other things. But, you know, we'll be singing I'll Be Home for Christmas and some of the others, because they're just good songs to sing at Christmas time. But that's the holiday side. Then there's also the holy side. And you realize that Christmas is a very unique holy day of all religions. There are many religions, and religions all have their own special days. But do you know that Christmas is the only holiday that focuses on giving? Now, I know that Hanukkah, there are 8 days of Hanukkah, and on those days, they're given gifts on each day, but the focus is not on the giving. In Christmas, the focus is on the giving, and it is that way because God gave Jesus to us. He gave the very best that heaven had to offer, and he set for us an example. We're giving because he gave to us. He gave us the best. And so out of hearts overflowing with gratitude, we want to give him the best and give our loved ones the best. You know, you can even see, I'm not going to read it, Luke 2, 28-32 speaks about Simeon and how Simeon looked forward to the day when God would send his Messiah. And finally, on that day, when he saw Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the temple, he asked if he could hold him. And he held him, and his response was so beautiful. He said, Lord, I can die now because I've seen your salvation. What he was saying is, I've seen the gift that you gave, and it's a gift of salvation to your people. I've seen your gift. Well, Christmas is a celebration. It's a celebration of the birth of Jesus. And you know, there are people that say, well, he wasn't born on December 25th. And they come up with all these things. It's like, I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter if he wasn't born on December the 20th. If you don't like that day, what day is it that you celebrate the birth of Christ? Have you picked another day? I mean, it's January the 6th in some places. You know, have you picked another day? And most of the time what they're saying is, we shouldn't celebrate it at all. No, you're wrong. We should. And December 25th is a perfect time for us to do it. And that's to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And I'm going to just close with this. Most of us have birthdays. Most of us celebrate in some way. And let me ask you this question. Who is it beside yourself that celebrates your birthday? It's the people that love you. It's the people that care about you. And so I ask you this. Who is it that celebrates Christmas as the birthday of Jesus? Who sees it as a holy day and not just a holiday? It's the people that love Jesus, the people that care about him. And so I'd put out this challenge to you. Do you love him? Are you going to celebrate that day as his birthday and honor him as the Lord and thank God that he cared enough to give the very best? Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, we are so grateful and thankful for all that you've done for us. You're so good to us. Lord, we thank you for salvation through Jesus our Lord and pray that we would never take it for granted. It's always something special, always something blessed. And we ask, Lord, now that by your hand and by your mercy that you would help us through this Christmas season, that we could have a lot of fun celebrating a holiday, but that we wouldn't lose sight of the holy day. And that we would bow before you and thank you for all that you've done. And we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.